Today, I want to start off by reading a text from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, starting at verse number 67. Luke 1, starting at verse number 67. So that we can have a bit of context for this reading, John, who we would know as come to know as John the Baptist, John the Baptizer. He was just born. Story of his father Zechariah is one that he was unable to speak during the pregnancy of John. And once John was born, God unchained his lips, if you will, and through the Holy Spirit, Zechariah spoke these words. I actually focused on this text last year when we looked at the songs of Advent. And this text is commonly known as the Benedictus, means blessing. Luke chapter 1, starting at verse number 67. Then his father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke this prophecy. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has looked favorably on his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a mighty Savior for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke through the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we would be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. Thus, he has shown the mercy promised to our ancestors, and he remembered his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our ancestor Abraham, to grant us that we, being rescued from the hands of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the forgiveness of their sins, by the tender mercy of our God. The dawn from on high will break upon us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. This Advent season, we are being called to exchange some items that we hold on to with our dear lives, things like fear and chaos and sorrow and even sin. We are being asked exchange these items for God's gift of hope, of peace, of joy, and love. These are the traditional themes of the season, and we want to lean into them this year. Advent is a season of being reminded that Jesus is coming again, and we await his return by focusing on his return and also looking back at his first coming. And may that first coming, the stories and the narrative surrounding those stories, may they fill our hearts and minds with a joyful, hopeful, spirited expectation. Last week, we were prompted to exchange our fear for hope. Today, God invites us to receive the gift of peace in exchange for our chaos. Let's pray. Gracious and loving God, we come before you today with hearts that often feel overwhelmed by the chaos of life. We bring to you our busyness, our distractions, and our fears. In this season of Advent, we are reminded that you are not a God of disorder, but of peace. Peace that surpasses all understanding and speaks calm into our storms. Lord, we confess that too often we hold tightly to the chaos, trying to fix it ourselves, trying to find peace in all the wrong places. But today, we are here to receive the gift you so graciously offer, peace that only you can give. Help us to lay down the noise, the conflict, and the burdens of our hearts so that we may experience the stillness of your presence. As we open your word today, speak to us through your Spirit. Transform our hearts and minds so that we might not only receive your peace, but also become peacemakers. Peacemakers in a world desperate for calm, restoration. Lord, exchange our chaos for your peace. May the peace flow through us to others. In the name of the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. Amen. My daughters are 24 and 20, and they do not know a world without war. My daughter was born, my oldest daughter was born a year after 9/11. And I'm sorry, a year before 9/11. She's only known war. We've always been at war with somebody. That's the state of our world right now, is that there are just wars. And I know that we will tend to focus on wars that we as a country, the United States, are involved in. But man, there have just been wars going on just nonstop. And every day, if you still watch the news, let me give you a warning. On the news, it typically starts off with a war in some part of the world. We are just completely involved and engrossed in military conflicts and men and women losing their lives as nation states fight each other. And again, let's not be numb to the fact that while there aren't many issues of conflict on United States soil, but all over this globe and planet, there are wars going on. And it causes us to kind of pause and ask a question. Is peace attainable at all? I don't know why countries stay fighting with one another. It would seem that this planet is big enough for all of us to share its rich resources and thrive. But time and time again, nations find themselves at odds with one another. And so we fight, and there is no peace. And then there is just the lack of peace we experience in our local context. This past Thursday, I was asked to officiate a funeral for a 20-year-old. You might have heard this story. There was a shooting in Wyland Park a couple weeks ago. A 20-year-old African-American male, autistic, who was not the target of the shooting, but with a group of friends that got into a conflict, and rather than solving through a peaceable means, the aggressor went, retrieved his weapon, shot this young man two times, killing him. And here I am doing this funeral for a family I don't know, but it was a room full of young people who really loved this kid. He seemed to be like a really bright light. Everyone that came up to speak about this kid, about him being their best friend. Met him 2 months ago. He was my best friend. I've known him since I was this, and he was my best. They all said he was his best friend. And because of the rampant conflict, lack of peace in our world, and this addiction to solving our problems with violence, here I am looking in the eyes of a father and a grieving mother and grieving siblings and grieving friends, because there is no peace. We've talked about peace, shalom, that's the Hebrew word for peace, that we seek in our lives. It is a quest for harmony, for wholeness, completeness, that often just seems unattainable. We just can't reach it. We can't get to it. And just as humans have been in a never-ending search for hope, we talked about that last week, so have humans been in this never-ending search for peace. We want peace of mind. We want peace in our relationships. We want peace in our world and peace in our relationships, peace in our communities. How is this even possible when our lives is just so inundated with conflict and competitions that pit us as rivals? How can we obtain peace when our ideologies seem so far apart from one another? Others are out there trying to come together, but it just seems like I'm so deeply entrenched with what I believe life should be. And over here, I'm just so deeply entrenched in what I believe in. And there just can't be peace. We look at how far apart these ideologies are and we just say, this is no hope for peace. Some are really serious, like our political divide. That's been a big one that's at the forefront of our hearts. Others are lighthearted, yet they're still compelling. For example, do y'all remember back in the 80s, it was you're either a Cola person or a Pepsi person. There were people battling it out, trying to figure out what was best, Coke or Pepsi, or how about this? And this is like a regional thing. And I want to ask you, is it pop or is it soda? Which one is it? Well, how many people raise your hand if it's pop? Okay. How many people it's soda? How many people it's soda pop? How many people grew up in the South and it's a Coke no matter what it is? Right? Right? Here's another regional one. Grits, if you eat grits. Do you put sugar in grits or is it just salt and pepper in grits? Raise your hand, salt and pepper. Raise your hand, sugar. Raise your hand, both. That's me. It's both. You put salt and pepper and brown sugar in. How about this? You see these things on the screen here? What are these things called? I hear pecans, I hear pecans. All right, go to the next one. What is this? What are these little sweet, delightful things called? Caramels or caramels? Little lighthearted, but trust me, I've seen families break up over these arguments, particularly the grits one. Those ideological differences are enough to get us a smile or two, but there are substantial differences in our world that are the sources of war, infighting, destruction, church splits, and impedance to progress. Some might offer that in the first century, the Jews who had long been the subjects of other kingdoms, that is, they were living under the rule of other nations, and they themselves experienced a lack of peace. They were once their own nation with their own borders, but now they were subject to Roman authorities. They were surrounded by a culture that mocked their standing in the world. They did not experience peace. Add to that, within the Jewish community, there were factions. There were groups that believed their way out of the struggle was to cozy up to the Roman government to curry favor. They would even begin to back off some of their theological positions just so that they could get close with the Roman government. There were other groups that believed that their way out was to eliminate the threat. They literally said we need to cut their heads off and fight our way to our freedom. There were still others who thought, let's retreat into the mountains and into these rural places where we can't be bothered. Let's cut ourselves off from everybody and create a way of life that's sustainable out here away from everybody. And then there were some that said, look, you know, we need to get close, but not too close. When we need them, we'll seek their help. But for the most part, let's keep our distance. These groups you might have heard them before, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Essenes, and the Zealots. And they had problems coexisting. There was a lack of peace within the Jewish community, even as they were seeking peace within their context of being in the Roman government. These differing ideologies was enough to cause dissensions amongst those various groups in the Jewish communities. Add to that, there was this belief that there was a Messiah coming, a king in the lineage of King David, and that this Messiah would bring some order to the chaos, but they all had differing views of what that Messiah would be. But they all did agree, based on the passages in the Hebrew Bible, in the Old Testament, that this Messiah was going to be someone who would bring some sense of peace to the chaos. These questions of that keeps our mind twirling, and these issues in our world that keeps our hearts raging with hurt and pain would be solved by the presence of this Messiah, because this king would bring among many things, and he would bring many things. He would bring salvation and forgiveness and hope and love. But one of the things that this Messiah would bring is shalom, peace, such that one of his nicknames from the Hebrew scriptures was Prince of Peace. From Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 6, for a child has been born for us, son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. Say this with me, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice, with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. And the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. The people of God, we yearn for peace in our dwelling places, and the people of old, they longed for a Messiah who would usher in that peace, and they were eager to hear from messengers who were preaching peace. Hence Isaiah again in Isaiah 52, who says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of the messenger who announces peace, who brings good news, who announces salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Again, in Isaiah 57, verse number 18, I have seen their ways, but I will heal them. I will lead them and repay them with comfort. Peace, peace to the far and the near, says the Lord, and I will heal them. In 2024, in the 21st century, we are no different than the people in the beginning, in the first century, who were longing for God to make good on his promise of bringing peace to our world. World peace to our communities, peace to our relationships, peace to our minds. The text that I read earlier from the Gospel of Luke is a text of a father blessing his son, John the Baptist. In this dedication, he asserts through blessing that his son will be one of the messengers, declaring that the Messiah is coming and that this Messiah will deliver on God's promise to bring peace amongst those promises that God made, and they were plentiful, was a promise to bring peace. And so again, the words of Zechariah from the Benedictus, and you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the forgiveness of their sins, by the tender mercy of God. The dawn from on high will break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. John's preaching would lead people to Jesus. John's preaching would point people to the one who would be the light bearer of peace of God. First, reconciling souls to God so that spiritually we can have peace with God. And then continually to intervene with our souls, Christ affording us the opportunity to have peace within and prayerfully by taking on the heart and mind of Christ, we could have peace amongst ourselves, peace with one another. Is peace possible in this world? Some say a resounding no. Too far gone for us to have peace. That's a pretty grim reality that many people hold on to. Instead of this idea, and I think one of the reasons why it's so grim, is because we are looking for these larger, powerful, big entities to impose peace, and that it will sort of trickle down into the rest of our lives, you know, from big down to the minutia in our societies. I'd like for us to think in a different direction. I wonder if what we ought to do is think of these small moments of expressions of peace in our corners of the earth that might have impact as it spreads outward and maybe grows up. Last week there was this football game on TV. Some of you all may have watched OSU versus Michigan. I don't know if any of y'all caught that game on TV. It was a pretty wild game. OSU unfortunately lost. But for many of us, what was most unfortunate was the after the game festivities as University of Michigan. I guess there were some folks that were going to plant a flag. I don't know about this tradition. But there was what we call a melee on the field. And I'm talking, there were some folks throwing some haymakers out on the field, even players swinging at coaches. Y'all remember seeing those images of the fight? I don't know if any of you have seen this. This has been going around on social media. Just right before the fight, or right as the fight was starting, there was this image where there was a player from Michigan, Brandon Edwards, running back, who knelt down with three Ohio State football players. I think Travion Henderson was one of the players, but I'm not sure. I haven't confirmed that. But instead of joining the melee, they got on their knees. And after the fact, both have commented to this idea that, and this is just a football game, we are not enemies. Travion Henderson said these words, "My enemy is the devil. We need to join up and fight the devil. It's all good. We've got this rivalry. We play football against each other. It's all good. You know, rival week, all that stuff. But at the end of the day, our collective enemy is the devil." So they got on that field while folks were throwing haymakers and fighting over something so silly and stupid. And they prayed. Perhaps it's these small instances of peaceful gathering that begin to teach us and lead us to a greater understanding that peace is attainable. It's probably not going to come from the top in governments. It's going to come from God's people who have embodied the Prince Peace. Our world is inundated with stories of horror and war, particularly in the Middle East. In Israel, horrific attacks that took place last October by Hamas. It makes you think that this conflict between Jews and Arabs will never cease. As many would point to conflict that goes back generations and generations, it will never end. And Jews and Arabs, they just can't get along. Except that there are so many instances where they are getting along. There's a community that sits equidistant between Jerusalem and Tel Aviv. A community called Wahat al-Salam Nev Shalom. That's both the Arabic and the Hebrew rendering of the phrase oasis of peace. It's a community where Jews and Palestinians, they all live together in the same community. They go to school together. They work together. They share together. They talk about peace. They are trying to let people know that we can live, we can coexist. They believe they are dedicated to promoting justice and peace and equality in that country and that region. It was a community that was established in 1970 by an Egyptian priest on the land of the Electrum Monastery. The Village is a model of equality, mutual respect, and partnership that challenges existing narratives of racism and discrimination, as well as those underlying the continued con. I believe it was last year where Isabella Yeager, who spent time studying in Tel Aviv at the University, International University, and she came forward and shared that even while this war is raging on in Israel and Palestine, that there are students, adults, and kids who live with each other, who love each other, even though they have religious differences and ideological differences. They are fighting for peace. Perhaps these small moves of peace, peaceful gestures might grow outward, and perhaps this is the type of energy we as followers of the Prince of Peace might endeavor to spread peace, preach peace, teach peace, and live peace. At the funeral of that young man last week, I asked a room of young people, I challenged them at the gravesite to consider peaceful solutions rather than violent ones. I was told that I drove up to the funeral that there was a fight that broke out in the parking lot. I asked that same room to do whatever it takes to honor this man who lost his life for no reason, to do whatever it takes to extend his legacy by promoting peace. I offer that same challenge to this room. It makes much more sense in this room that I look at God's people, men of God, women of God, children of God. Let's do whatever it takes to promote peace in our neighborhoods, in our communities, in our schools, in our jobs. We hold within our hands a propensity for chaos, violence, for disorder, for turmoil, for melees, for madness. This Advent, we have an opportunity to exchange all of that for the peace of God. When Christ was born, the angels sang out in exuberance. Listen to the chorus of the heavenly hosts. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace. Paul wrote this in Romans chapter 5, verse number 1. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in the hope of our sharing the glory of God. Paul would often start his letters to the church in Corinth, to the church in Colossae, to the church in Ephesus. Grace and peace. To exchange our chaos for the gift of God's peace is our only chance for peace to take hold in this earth. I'm not waiting for a president or a prime minister, terror group, or I'm not waiting for them to come up with the idea for peace on this earth. I'm ready to sign up with the collection of God's people who at every opportunity, at every circumstance, we will be peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons and daughters of God. If the Prince of Peace is taking hold of your life, do whatever you can to be a peaceful ambassador in this world. So right now, if you've got a conflict brewing in your life right now, you've got a conflict with a coworker, conflict with a spouse, conflict with a child, conflict with a neighbor. My neighbor keeps cutting on my side of the line. So you know what I'm going to do? Get over it. not that big of a deal. Because peace greater than me having a conflict over a crooked line in my lawn. Do whatever it takes. I hope they're not watching. It's all good. It's all good. Do whatever it takes to make peace in our world. That's what we need in our schools. Peace. That's what we need in a job. That's what we need in our homes. Peace. That's what we need in government. Peace. Government needs to see sons and daughters of the Prince of Peace. Maybe peace will take hold. As we sing this song of invitation, maybe your life has just been riddled with chaos, confusion. Just have not been able to make sense of it all. You toss and turn all night because you're just not experiencing peace. I'm telling you that the Prince of Peace wants to give you a peace that surpasses all understanding. A peace that will rock your world. A peace that will allow you to walk with your head up even while bombs are dropping. Because it's a peace that goes over and beyond our comfort. And if during the singing of this song there's something we can do for you, pray for you, read the Bible with you, spend some time with you talking about some of these issues that's clouding our world, we'll do that. Or maybe today is a day you want to give your life to Jesus, confessing Jesus as Lord, being baptized to really embrace and embody all that's for you. You have that opportunity as we stand. In Jesus' name, let's stand.